Hi, it's Dave. So just a couple hours ago, CNBC came out with a 21-minute video focused on Tesla's FSD beta program. Now, it seems to have a negative bias. It's called Tesla's FSD beta, an experiment on public roads. So I think this video is going to be viewed probably millions of times, and it's going to impact and shape a lot of people's views towards Tesla and their FSD program. Now, I haven't watched this video. I've only watched a couple minutes, and I decided I'd rather do a real-time reaction with you guys to go through each part of the video together. So this video is going to be kind of long. Go ahead, sit back and relax, enjoy it. If you don't have much time, you can skip to the conclusion or the end of the video where I'll give my summary of my take on this video. All right, let's get started.
Now we're going to make this left turn. And I'm getting honked at. But now it's just turn right. We're supposed to go left.
All right, so even in this kind of first opening scene, you see the driver kind of freaked out. He should have just probably let the neural nets do what they're doing and wait for an opening. Rather, he started to push the accelerator, and that messes up the neural net's path planning, and that's why he actually ends up having to intervene.
We just ran a red light.
Well, you ran a red light because you pressed the accelerator through the intersection, and now everything is kind of in your own hands now because you kind of hijacked, right, the normal course of what the neural nets were planning.
And a red light. I'm gonna get a ticket for this.
This is Taylor Ogan. He's the founder and CEO of Snowball Capital, a hedge fund that invests in green and high-tech sectors. Ogan is a self-proclaimed Tesla fan and says that he's owned the stock since the company went public.
All right, so Taylor Ogan, he's been on a few channels lately. You can check out his interviews. He says he's a Tesla fan, but he has a lot and lot of negative critique against Tesla. I would actually like a public disclosure by him of if he has shorted Tesla stock in the past year or so, via stock or by put options at all. And I want to see, like, yeah, he claims to be this Tesla so-called fan invested in stock, but what percent of his portfolio really is in Tesla stock? I'm curious.
Recently, he invited CNBC to ride along with him in his 2020 Tesla Model Y as he tested out Tesla's FSD beta 10.8.1 software in Brooklyn, New York.
Jeez. I don't know if you realize what just happened, but that's the closest thing I've ever seen.
Ogan is...
Well, I mean... Yeah, who knows what happened? I mean, it just seems like he passed by a bus. I don't know. I mean, maybe CNBC is kind of cutting some of these more reactionary, sensational clips, right, of him reacting. But it does seem like, you know, he's not very happy about this. And I'm curious, did he reach out to CNBC or did CNBC reach out to him? Who knows?
Not a professional test driver, nor is he a Tesla employee. Instead, he's one of the over 50,000 customers that Tesla has allowed to access FSD beta. FSD beta, which stands for full self-driving beta, can be best summarized as a host of new driver assistant features that are not yet debugged. Chief among them is auto steer on city streets, which enables drivers to automatically navigate around complex urban environments without moving the steering wheel with their own hands.
Okay, I'm gonna take over there. So it wanted to change lanes in the middle of an intersection there and cut off the guy behind me.
The system is anything but self-driving and still requires constant attention and intervention from the driver.
Tesla, you know, makes it very clear it's not autonomous driving yet, but that's the eventual end goal of where all this is headed. So you're buying into the optionality, right, of buying, the option cheaper now than what Tesla intends to sell at a later price. So you are taking some risk on by saying, hey, I want a cheaper option. It's not, you know, obviously autonomous at all. You need to watch the system. And I think Tesla has been very clear about that.
A caveat that Tesla highlights on its website.
With it being a beta, you know, I've seen that at any time, the car could just make a mistake and I have to be ready for that. Right now, my stress levels go up, not down from using full self-driving, but that's the cost of making it better.
Yeah, so, you know, that's a personal preference. I guess initially it takes time to get used to. I noticed that clip was from January 10th, so it was from, you know, at least over a month or a month and a half ago, actually. Every month, the beta program is getting better and better. Personally, when I first tested it out in July, I was a bit nervous. It was kind of stressful. But after several months later, the program and the beta software has improved so radically on most streets. Yeah, almost 95% of my streets, it's actually very relaxed. And I understand when it has problems and what situation, so I can kind of watch it more carefully. Or even, you know, just disengage early. So, you know, if I don't even want to be involved in a situation where it's going to have some difficulties.
Tesla's FSD beta program is heavily scrutinized by regulators and has earned Tesla side eye from competitors who usually have professionally trained drivers, not customers, test driver assistant features in their vehicles.
All right. So that's a little bit, I think, misrepresentative. A lot of these other so-called autonomous driving plays, they're not doing driver assist features. They're actually doing autonomous kind of driving with LiDAR and maps. And therefore, they're using, you know, professional drivers because, yes, they're trying to skip to level 4 or level 5. Tesla is doing level 2 where you do need driver attention at all times. So this is a different situation here.
But for now, the program is still available for thousands of Tesla owners to access without the knowledge of drivers and pedestrians around them.
Tesla is pushing the bounds of what is possible with self-driving, and they've got to be applauded for that. On the other hand, they're taking a huge, huge gamble with this by putting an incomplete or a buggy piece of software on the roads.
CNBC.
All right. So this is, I think, evidence or kind of an example of someone who's assuming that the risks are huge, right? And this is big gamble. And, you know, people don't know that, you know, it's being tested on the roads. But for me, it's like, if you look at the objective numbers, right? And so far, there hasn't really been an accident with human injury or a major accident with FSD. And then there's been millions of miles that's been tested with this beta program. And so the numbers aren't lining up, right? Meaning it's not showing that it is this huge gamble. It's showing that actually Tesla is being very cautious, rolling out the program to, you know, a few hundred people, a few thousand people, and a few tens of thousands of people when the time is right, when they have the data and the objective kind of safety that they need, right, not to endanger the public. So this is actually the opposite. Tesla is very intentional, very cautious. This is not a huge gamble. Tesla isn't trying to gamble. They're actually playing it on the safe side with data. So I think this is an example of someone who just looks out from the outside, not looking at the data of what's really going on with Tesla's beta program.
For a ride with three FSD beta testers in different parts of the country to see how the system performs in the real world and explore what this program could mean for the future of vehicle automation.
All right, so here's the whole thesis of the video. Three different, you know, drivers. Now, here's the thing. It's hard to really understand what's going on with Tesla's FSD program just by looking at videos. Like, you really have to feel it. The other thing is you kind of have to understand what the computer is doing and how it's making decisions to appreciate, like, you know, how good it is when it's making these decisions, but also when it doesn't make the right decisions, why is it making the wrong decisions and how is it improving over time? This isn't something for anyone just to analyze, just looking out for videos, or just a journalist to come alongside with a couple drivers, right? You can always cherry pick, right, the interventions and say, oh my gosh, look at this. This is dangerous. This is crazy, without really understanding, right, the essence of how the computer is making this decision and how fast it's improving over time, month over month.
Before we get into our ride-alongs, it's important to understand what FSD beta can and can't do. The way that Tesla markets its driver assistance packages has historically been confusing. Tesla's standard driver assistance package is marketed as Autopilot. Its functionality includes automatic emergency braking, forward collision warning, lane keeping, and adaptive cruise control, which matches the speed of your car to that of the surrounding traffic. For an extra $12,000, or $199 per month, Tesla sells an option it calls Full Self-Driving, or FSD. The premium package includes more sophisticated features like automatic lane changing, automatic parking, and Smart Summon, which lets drivers call their car from a parking spot to come pick them up. FSD Beta takes this one step further, with unfinished features like auto steer on city streets and traffic light and stop sign control, which identifies stop signs and traffic lights and automatically slows your car to a stop upon approach. Although they may sound advanced, none of these packages come even close to making Tesla's vehicles autonomous.
All right, so here you start to sense a lot of the CNBC writers or the journalists' bias here. They're saying it's not even, you know, getting close to making your car autonomous. But yeah, I mean, that's their personal opinion. To make it kind of this objective statement, I think that's, kind of stretching it a bit too far. Because it's about the path and the incremental improvements of at what, if you look at the trajectory of how fast FSD beta is improving, at what point does it become safer than humans, right? I mean, we could debate about this, but to say like, oh, it's like, you know, so far away, it's, you know, I mean, that's fine. It's your personal opinion. I think it should be stated like that.
When we're talking about FSD beta here, we're talking really about a system that is an SAE level 2 system that is designed to assist the driver in a wide variety of different situations. But the driver at all times is responsible for the control of the vehicle.
By comparison, a robo-taxi would be level 4 or higher.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable that people think that this is somehow going to be a robo-taxi.
All right, so a few things here. So the previous speaker was saying, yeah, this is level 2, which is true. If the responsibility is on the driver, this is not touted to be an autonomous driving system at this point right now. And here you have Taylor saying, oh my gosh, how can people even imagine or think that this could eventually become a robo-taxi? Again, this is projecting, meaning you take your own personal kind of experiences and you assume that you understand the trajectory of where this is heading, the possibilities of the future. Again, this is his personal opinion, but he's kind of projecting it, right, as this kind of objective kind of analysis of on the state, right, of full self-driving.
Listening to Tesla CEO Elon Musk, who's been promising driverless cars since 2016, it's easy to see why people may believe that.
My personal guess is that we'll achieve full self-driving this year at a safety level significantly greater than a person. Over time, we think full self-driving will become the most important source of profitability for Tesla. If you run the numbers on robo-taxis, it's nutty good from a financial standpoint.
In order to gain access to FSD beta, participants have to first allow Tesla to monitor their driving for a period of time until they can earn a high enough safety score. The score is calculated based on 5 metrics specified by Tesla. Those who qualify are allowed to download FSD beta via an over-the-air update. While some testers say that earning a high score is hard and required driving even more cautiously than they typically would, Ogun says he was able to easily game the system.
The way I got a 100 on the safety score was I drove like a grandma for 103 miles, and then I didn't drive it for a week, and then I had 100 safety score, and then I was granted access to the beta software.
Newer Tesla vehicles have in-cabin cameras, which are supposed to monitor drivers and alert them if they're not paying attention. If a driver gets enough warnings, the car can disable driver assistance features temporarily. After several warnings, a driver may get kicked out of the FSD beta program entirely. But not all Teslas have camera-based driver monitoring, and those with cameras are far from perfect. Kelly Funkhauser's been testing Tesla's autopilot and FSD beta on a closed route for Consumer Reports, and says that a lot of the time, Tesla's driver monitoring systems simply didn't work.
In our testing, we weren't able to really get that camera to be sufficient for, you know, monitoring attention, because we could cover it and there would be no difference as if, you know, the camera wasn't even there.
Wait a minute. They're saying that you could cover the camera, therefore the camera doesn't work. I mean, that's ridiculous. What's crazy about Consumer Reports is they tout like the competition's, you know, camera-based, you know, infrared or cameras monitoring system of, you know, Super Cruise and all this stuff. Like, you can hear this from Consumer Reports. And now when it comes to Tesla actually implementing camera-based, you know, monitoring, which I've actually seen firsthand, and it does actually a really good job in my experience, now they tape it up and they say, oh yeah, it doesn't really work at all. Like, oh my gosh.
And as long as you have your hands on the wheel, even if you're looking at your phone or totally distracted or asleep, you'd never get any of those warnings to pay attention. For full self-driving beta,
for FSD beta, my experience has been very different. If I'm looking away at my phone or something, it alerts me, right, to take over. It's actually very strict. And I think the camera monitoring system is doing a great job.
That's when Tesla claims that they have these additional messages that say things like the camera is blocked or to please pay attention. We've never experienced any of those warnings.
We decided to...
Okay, what's going on here? Are they like actually covering up the camera? We'll see.
In our own tests with the in-cabin camera using Ogan's Model Y. The first time, we covered the camera before attempting to engage FSD beta and were unable to do so.
Yep, cabin camera is covered or blinded.
When we covered the camera after FSD beta was already engaged, we were able to drive for about a block before the system turned off and gave us a strike. During our drive in Brooklyn, FSD beta struggled with pedestrians.
Here's a pedestrian. We have the right of way. We have a green. And look at that. It just slammed on the... She wasn't crossing.
I don't know. I mean, when I look at that, it seemed like, you know, the pedestrian was right there, but then it kind of, the pedestrian kind of did this lunge at the last minute, and that's when FSD picked it up. And it's giving an alert for the driver to take over because it understands, right, the severity or the dangerousness of the situation. That's the right thing for FSD beta. But if you noticed, the driver's reaction was like kind of this negative reaction, right? Which is the opposite. This FSD beta did an exemplary job, right? It did what it needed to do in that situation. It feels like the driver is trying to expect and push upon, you know, this standard that, oh, the car should autonomously drive by itself. But that's not what Tesla is saying here. Tesla is saying that you need to drive with attention, take over at any moment, any time, and it's not autonomous. I think there's this, kind of mixing up of standards by the driver.
Traffic lights.
Okay, I don't know why we're stopped here. And now we just missed the light. Sorry, yeah, this woman's laughing at me. You can't help but laugh.
And complex intersections.
It doesn't want to go. There's a bus behind us. Or it's just not going anywhere. And now it's creeping. Middle. Now it's trying to go right. We're in the middle of an eight-way intersection. We're just stuck in the middle. So of course I have to take over.
At one point during the drive, Ogan restarted the system and was able to engage FSD even with the screen still black.
Yeah, the screen is black and the car is driving itself.
Okay, I mean, this seems like a crazy kind of malintent way to try to, you know, show some type of mistake by the system. But Tesla's system is actually meant where if the center screen goes black, actually the, you know, FSD beta autopilot can continue to go on. It's actually an amazing feature that's, it's not connected or dependent on the screen. And so it's actually, you know, this is a great feature. And then I think the driver is making it seem like, oh, it's like a bad feature that you could drive with it without the screen.
I have no idea what it can see. I don't know if it's engaged or not. You can see the wheel turning.
Well, you engaged it while it was off, like just trying to prove a point. So it's crazy.
I don't know which way it wants to turn. It just slammed on the brakes. There's a school bus behind me. I just got honked at.
Yeah, I mean, if you're intentionally going to restart the whole system, then you shouldn't complain that it can't see something. Also, you can just take over, right? You could just tap the brake, everything disengages, FSD beta or whatever. Just pull over to the side if you want. I don't understand what you're trying to prove here.
You see that, Pete Buttigieg?
FSD beta did not fare much better in San Francisco, where we also tested version 10.8.1. Complex intersections.
Hold on one sec. Yeah, okay. So that's me getting honked at again. It got a little bit confused by that intersection.
Pedestrians.
Okay, so it's worried about those pedestrians over there. That was a pretty hard stop.
And traffic lights all seem to pose problems.
Okay, so now it's confused. It's stopping in the middle. Okay, so... Yeah, so that guy behind me is like justifiably upset because I stopped in the middle of an intersection when the light was green. When I'm using the FSD, I'd say I'm less worried about hitting a pedestrian than I am about being the victim of like a road rage incident because I'm, you know, just not driving in a courteous way.
Roundabouts were also tricky.
Okay, here's our roundabout. Let's see what happens here. Okay. Whoa. All right. I don't think it understood how to use the roundabout because we're basically going the wrong way now. In fact, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like diverting itself a block so that it can avoid that roundabout. So I guess.
All right. So up until this point, what I'm noticing is, you know, the CNBC reporter, you know, their team editing and doing all this stuff is highlighting kind of all of the problems, right? And if you notice, like even in San Francisco here, they highlight this crazy busy intersection, right? Turning left or whatever, and, you know, with pedestrians or roundabout, et cetera. And if you notice, each time, so first off, the driver is able to take over, right? But also the use case of, for example, FSD beta is not at this point to take on the hardest of the hardest situations flawlessly. Like no one's claiming that FSD beta can do that, right? Flawlessly at this point. It's a work in progress trying to reach a point where eventually, right, it could be safer than a human. And because it's not at this point, that's why, you know, Tesla requires, right, human oversight. So it just feels like a case of misplaced expectations, right? It seems like, you know, some of these drivers and CNBC is expecting this car to perform flawlessly, autonomously in the hardest of situations, and they ding, right, the FSD beta program because it doesn't at times. To me, this is crazy, right? Just have the realistic expectation that this is, you know, a level two driving system that's being trained to work and to improve its capabilities to handle increasingly harder and harder driving situations. And you'll be pleasantly surprised, I think, with FSD beta. But if you go the opposite way, like, oh, this should be level five. Why doesn't it do like everything a level five autonomous car should do? Obviously, you're going to be disappointed. So I don't understand what's the point, right, of this video if you're going to approach it from that angle. Yeah, it's just crazy.
Understand that, yeah.
Though a second roundabout proved more successful.
Okay, this time it got it found its way through.
Yeah, I think also what's missing about this is the progression of Tesla's FSD improvements. So I've used this since last July or so. So, you know, approaching probably, yeah, it's going to be, you know, a year and probably 4 or 5 months. I've noticed a great improvement with stuff like roundabouts, you know, and this CNBC report is not highlighting those progressive and incremental improvements over time, which I think is super significant, because how can you evaluate a system if you're not tracking the improvements, how fast or how slow it's improving over time, where it's having difficulty and where it's not? So this is another kind of a downside or limitation of this kind of snapshot view, right, of like FSD beta. From an anecdotal kind of one person's, right, experience.
The car also seemed to struggle with bollards, at one point almost plowing into one while taking a right turn.
Whoa, okay, so.
In nearby San Jose.
Yeah, I mean, that's one issue that, see, here's the thing, each version has limitations. And so the more latest and newest versions, they're tackling a lot of those limitations. Yeah, a lot of times the neural nets haven't been trained yet to see and to decipher certain objects, what they are, right? And that's improved over time. And yeah, this is just part of the system of what FSD beta is right now.
A popular YouTuber AI Addict posted a video that showed his car actually running over a bollard while on version 10.10.
We hit that.
We actually hit it.
We hit it.
Wow.
Where the system seems.
Yeah, but I mean, again, see, a lot of the context is missing from this. Like, here's the thing. When you're filming a YouTube video, and by the way, AI Addict does a great job. And that was kind of his first, you know, bump with an object or something. But yeah, what you usually do is you're trying to let the car do what it needs to do, you don't intervene as quickly as perhaps you normally would if you're just wanting to be safe, right? You're trying to show the video and people what it can and what it can't do. So in that case, my hunch is if AI Addict was being safer on his own, wasn't shooting a video, yeah, he would just intervene before that, seeing that, you know, it was kind of drifting into that lane.
To perform better is in a more suburban setting.
We have a four-way stop. It's always done well at those. I've never had an issue where it didn't handle the four-way stops nice and clean.
Intersections were also better.
Here, it's trying to yield, but these cars are turning, so it'll eventually make its mind to go.
Okay.
Kevin Smith is a software engineer for a print-on-demand book manufacturer. Smith says he's been testing FSD beta for around 5,000 miles, and that most of the time, updates will mean solving one issue only to encounter another.
So basically before the 10.5 update, and including 10.5, most of the issues I were having were related to like turn lanes and odd street markings and things like that. With 10.8, all those little turn lane issues and things, those all kind of went away, so they fixed those little things. But I started to have more and more disengagements for cars it's not yielding to or something like that.
Something else that Smith's noticed at...
All right, so again, that's really hard to use kind of this personal anecdote of one situation. For example, if you can compare version 9.0, let's say last July versus, you know, version 10.10, this is a huge difference, right? In the trajectory of how Tesla's improving. The nature of improvement is, you know, sometimes they're replacing actually like handwritten heuristic code with neural nets, which have the potential and will get better with more data. It's just initially there's an adjustment time where, yeah, it could bring in some more challenges. Again, this is why it's FSD beta and it requires, right, constant human supervision.
Struggle with is driving in low visibility, such as during a rain or snowstorm.
In heavy snow, it pretty much is non-functional. It just tells you that it can't see and you need to take over.
All right, so let's examine what that statement says. It's non-functional. Well, okay, maybe it won't function, but here's the thing. Tesla has a leeway of how aggressive they're able to kind of set FSD to be, meaning actually if they set it more aggressive, it could actually work in a lot of just kind of, you know, tenuous situations with not that much visibility. It's just that Tesla is tending to lean to be more conservative, where, for example, if it has limited visibility, it'll notch down the aggressiveness a lot and just kind of stop and say, hey, I'm not going to do this situation. That doesn't mean that it's going to have those type of problems in the future, meaning it can get better with, you know, recognition of the scenes, get more confident with how it drives and improve, right, its drivability in situations with limited visibility. I'm just saying that, you know, right now it could shut down. It doesn't mean that that's how it's going to happen or that's what's going to do in the future.
The other issue I had was on our kind of rural roads, whereas our main roads, they'll plow them. The rural roads, we clear the middle of the road. This car, because it could see the center yellow line, it wanted to stay on its lane. And that included keeping two tires in that big pile of ice and snow that you wouldn't drive on as a human.
A major concern that experts point to when it comes to FSD beta is a lack of transparency and oversight in pretty much all aspects of the program, starting with who gets to participate.
It's Tesla deciding who is good and who is bad here. There is no third party.
Okay, what is going on here? Like, I don't understand what the nitpicking is all about. You know, Tesla only had like, you know, a few hundred people prior, and then they've been scaling it, and they've been as transparent as possible, especially with the whole safety score. I mean, how much more transparent do you need to be saying this is how we evaluate people and you need this certain score, like a 99 or 98 to be admitted to the FSD beta program? Like, if you're going to criticize something, this is like the opposite. Tesla is being super transparent with how they're allowing people into the program. So yeah, please enlighten me here.
Can't come down to the company alone to decide who is safe and who is not.
It can't come down to the company alone. What are you talking about? The company has the data. Right, it's in the company's best interest to promote safety, right, for its drivers, for its brand, its reputation, and for the progress of its, you know, technologies. In Tesla's case, the objective accident analysis is that there hasn't been many, you know, injury accidents, especially considering the mileage of how many people are using FSD beta and how many miles, right, FSD beta has been driven. So far, it's objectively with data proven pretty safe. And therefore, I think, yeah, you shouldn't, you know, have these crazy standards that don't even make sense for a company that's doing actually exactly what it needs to do for a level two, right? A human supervised driver assist system.
Brian Reamer agrees that there needs to be more transparency. He heads the Advanced Vehicle Technology Consortium at MIT, which is made up of a number of insurance providers, research organizations, and automakers.
All right. So you're part of a consortium of other, I know, not just insurers, but other automakers, right? Many of them who are competition, right, to Tesla, including right Google and all these other Consumer Reports doesn't even like Tesla's like approach and many other things. So yeah, you're part of this consortium. Of course, what are you going to be? You're going to be critical, right, of Tesla. I mean, that's my take.
Show me the data and prove it to me. Prove how you're using this data day in and day out that this is an efficacy system enhancing.
Prove the data. I mean, think about it. Like Tesla is showing, right? They're saying, hey, we haven't had, right? Even if Tesla had some injury accidents, still looking at the number of drivers, right, and the miles that are driven on FSD beta is still proven to be a very effective and a safe rollout, right, of this technology of, you know, human supervised driver assist system. So for this person to have these like ridiculous type of expectations for Tesla to prove something, they don't need to prove anything right now. They're doing something that's legal within level two. They're being transparent with what their technologies are doing. They're even letting people, right, have journalists, reporters in their cars filming this, right? How much more transparent do you think Tesla can be with this? This is crazy.
Risk-benefit model on our roads. Much like the FDA requires drug manufacturers to prove the benefits of the pharmaceutical intervention inherently outweigh the risks, that is what I am looking for.
Oh my gosh, you're kidding me. You're comparing a level two, right, driver assist system with pharmaceutical drugs. Now, this is crazy. I mean, this is flawed on so many different levels. Like, for example, with pharmaceutical drugs, you have these unknown consequences that can last for decades and decades, right? You don't know the consequences. That's why you need long-term studies for these pharmaceutical drugs. Now, with a level two driver assistance system, you don't have consequences 10 years from now that of long-term side effects, right, for driving a level two system. You see the consequences right there in accidents, right, and in data right there. So for this person to say, oh my gosh, no, it's like pharmaceuticals. We should, you know, regulate, you know, Tesla, like we regulate pharmaceuticals like the FDA does. This is ridiculous. This is a crazy, I think, double standard that is, very harmful and it's not thought out. I'm surprised that, you know, this type of reason and thought process is coming from someone like this.
Destiny Thomas says we need to think beyond just the safety of drivers.
I think the problem with the auto industry is that we center everything around the person behind the wheel. What we lose is the human element and the impact to human beings who are not behind the wheel.
Thomas is the founder and CEO of Drivins Group, a for-profit urban planning organization with a specific focus on marginalized communities.
We need to make sure that there's representation within private industry to make sure that the folks who are developing this AI technology understand the very important nuances of what it means to travel through space in a body that's not normative. How is this car going to recognize someone using an assistive device that maybe isn't a wheelchair and doesn't look like one? How is this technology going to be able to recognize someone who has purple undertones in their skin that don't react to the sensors that are in the car? Currently, children under the age of 16 are more likely to be killed by cars while walking down the street or riding their bike. People with disabilities are more likely to be killed because of the speed at which cars are traveling.
Government.
All right, so here this person shares how important it is for cars to be safe. But yes, that's the problem, right? That AI neural nets technologies are trying to solve with cars. Like, humans are actually terrible drivers in many instances and cases, especially when they're looking away, they're under the influence, etc. And this is what Tesla has showed, actually, the success of autopilot on freeways. Tesla had a lot of the same early criticisms of people like, oh my gosh, you can't test this, you shouldn't try this site on freeways, etc. But Tesla has a very cautious, incremental, safe data, you know, centric way to roll these out and their improvements. Tesla has done a fantastic job, and they've shown that actually, you know, the freeway miles driven on autopilot is a lot safer than, right, human-driven miles overall. And so I think this is the approach that Tesla has taken, and they're doing the same thing with FSD beta in the sense of they're taking this cautious, measured approach to roll this out, making sure that people are attentive, that they understand this isn't an autonomous driving vehicle right now, that they need to pay attention, and they're doing, you know, just a ton of different improvements month over month, making the system so much better over time. And they have the data to back it that there hasn't been this malus, right? This huge, all these injuries, hundreds of injuries caused, right, by this rollout of this program. Another point is Tesla is showing that they've already rolled it out to 50,000 vehicles, why aren't there hundreds of injury accidents reported on this thing, right? It's just showing how safe and cautious Tesla is being with the rollout of their FSD beta program.
Scrutiny of FSD beta. In a letter to Tesla in October 2021, the Department of Transportation's National Highway Traffic Safety Administration reprimanded Tesla's use of non-disclosure agreements for early participants of FSD beta, calling the practice unacceptable and saying that it adversely impacts NHTSA's ability to obtain information relevant to safety.
In my experience, I've been part of the FSD early access beta program since before that time. And Tesla's been very generous, right, with the term, saying that, hey, yeah, you can go ahead and record and share your recordings with the public. They've never, clamped down. They have said, hey, please don't live stream, because when you live stream, it can be kind of hectic trying to maintain a live stream and, drive at the same time. So yeah, they've been very, very open-minded. And yet, here it feels like, this report is angling it, like Tesla's trying to make sure it doesn't get out. But that's the opposite. Tesla's been very, very open and transparent with the whole process.
Second letter to Tesla released that same day, the agency requested more details on how Tesla decides who gets beta access and specific information on the people involved. The NDA asked participants to keep their experience in the program confidential and to refrain from sharing any information regarding the program on social media sites or forums. Additionally, participants were asked not to use their vehicles for services like Lyft, Uber, Turo, or Scoop while enrolled in the early access program.
All right, so they got rid of this NDA, actually, I think quite a while ago. I don't recall the exact date offhand, but I've been part of this program since July of last year. And they might have had an NDA at that time, but in their email communications, actually, they overrode those NDA terms by saying that you could record, right, your experience and you can share. And they actually said they encourage, right, sharing of your experiences with others, right, and sharing the videos as well, right?
Tesla eventually dropped the NDA requirement for beta participants. But Ogun thinks many are still nervous to talk about the system's issues from fear that they'll get the software taken away.
I think the most dangerous part about this are the people who are posting videos of flawless drives with zero interventions, zero disengagements. And that is incredibly misleading. I think that's really detrimental to the Tesla shareholders, to the other enthusiasts of these technologies, because they are led to believe that this system is a lot more capable than it is by a significant margin.
All right, so here's the thing. Just because some people are posting zero intervention drives doesn't mean the solution is now to post all this negative, right, criticism and negative bias against, right, Tesla's FSD beta program. I don't think that's the case. That's the solution. The solution is we just need accurate, right, portrayal of what's really going on. And I think the best accurate portrayal is actually to track the trajectory of how it's improved over time in various different situations, right? And it's not just take a one-off ride and say, oh, this is the entire status and state of FSD just in this one ride. The nuances and the complexity of how driving is, it requires a much, broader kind of analysis than just one person's story, right, in one sliver of time. So anyways.
Tesla has been criticized for using terminology that exaggerates the capability of its vehicles.
It's clear that if you're marketing something as full self-driving and it is not full self-driving, and people are misusing the vehicles and the technology, that you have a design flaw and you have to prevent that misuse.
All right, so here's Tesla's website when you order a car, and it basically says, full self-driving capability. It gives the features that they have already released, and then they say coming soon, auto steer on city streets. And they're saying that this currently enabled features require active driver supervision, do not make the vehicle autonomous, right? The activation and use of these features are dependent on achieving reliability far in excess of human drivers, as demonstrated by billions of miles of experience, as well as regulatory approval, which may take longer in some jurisdictions. As these self-driving features evolve, your car will be continuously upgraded through over-the-air software updates. So, here's the thing. Tesla is selling a program to be part of that will continuously improve over time, that does not make the car autonomous right now, but that's their hope and intention over time with billions of miles and through a lot of improvements. And they're saying, yeah, the whole feature isn't even complete yet. So this is Tesla's right way of saying it. But then if you look at that previous clip, it seems like, yeah, you know, I don't know if they're looking at a different website or something, but yeah, Tesla hasn't promised autonomous, you know, vehicles right now if you, you know, buy their FSD beta option.
FSD beta is already being blamed for some accidents. In November, NHTSA announced that it was looking into a driver's complaint in which a 2021 Tesla Model Y was hit by another car after the Tesla went into the wrong lane while taking a left turn. At the time, the complaint to NHTSA says the car was using FSD beta. Another consumer complaint to the agency released in February states that a 2021 Tesla Model S misjudged the road and took too wide of a turn, which resulted in the car going slightly off the road. The complaint says beta was engaged at the time. Tesla recently ordered a recall of its FSD beta software for more than 53,000 vehicles to retract a feature that allowed Teslas to automatically roll past stop signs without first coming to a stop. The recall won't require a visit to the shop. Tesla can fix the issues with a free over-the-air software update. During our drive in San Francisco, we experienced our own stop sign incident.
Okay, that's a stop sign that we just almost ran through, so that's not good.
Public confusion over the availability of autonomous vehicle technology is also a problem. One survey of 4,000 vehicle owners found that 19% of customers thought fully autonomous vehicles are already available for sale.
If a respondent said that they believe it is in the marketplace right now, we asked them to give us an example. We did this in an open-ended fashion. The most commonly mentioned word in those verbatim comments is Tesla. The fact that Tesla is very top of mind, it really demonstrates that the brand is shaping consumer expectations, even though they're currently not producing a fully automated self-driving vehicle yet. So I think we really have to be careful in how we're messaging things as an industry.
Yeah, I think this is an interesting point. I mean, yeah, I do agree in the sense that Tesla needs to be clear, and they are clear, in my opinion, that, yeah, Tesla's FSD option is not fully complete yet. It's not fully autonomous. That's the path. That's the goal that they look to achieve. But yeah, on the flip side, the current abilities of even autopilot on freeways is amazing. And I don't think, you know, a lot of people understand that you could drive on a road trip, you know, probably 95% or more of the miles basically using autopilot, and it's a huge difference maker. So on that side, I don't think people understand a lot of the technologies that Tesla has already incorporated, right, in their current software package to make driving like a completely different experience than past driving cars.
Most of the experts we spoke to agree that there needs to be more oversight of FSD beta, as well as all autonomous vehicle testing in general. There are no federal laws regulating the operation or testing of autonomous vehicles on public roads. Instead, states have taken a piecemeal approach to regulation through a mix of local legislation and executive orders, with varying degrees of strictness.
The best thing that government can do when it comes to regulations is to set guardrails for companies and the industry that put hard stops in place beyond which the companies and the technology shouldn't go, but they also give them a lot of latitude and agility to develop the technology within those guardrails. And at that point, we see the social benefits and social rewards of it while avoiding some of the more egregious risks.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, guardrails, like where do you place those guardrails? What if you don't even think autonomous driving is going to be here for the next 30 years? Therefore, you place a guardrail so close that people can't even ever even consider dreaming about, you know, those type of technologies or developing those technologies. That's the problem of regulators, right? Being in charge of setting these guardrails so close.
But some argue that regulation doesn't have to strictly come from the government.
I am of the belief that proper checks and balances don't have to always happen by way of local government, that there are community interest groups that would be happy to support Tesla and anyone else looking to innovate in this way to make sure that the folks whose interests they represent truly are safe once these vehicles make it onto the roadway.
Meanwhile, even the testers that we spoke to are split on whether testing using consumers is safe.
I don't think it's right that customers are able to just test this
by using.
All right. I mean, here's the thing. If Taylor is gonna say that, you know, he doesn't think it's right for customers to be able to test it, then he should voluntarily give up his, you know, his FSD beta.
on public streets, I don't feel I'm increasing the assumed risk that people are putting themselves in by also being on those public streets. We share those streets with people who are, you know, using a car for the first time with their learner's permit. I believe if someone is not paying attention and they're using their cell phone and they're doing these things, then there is an increased risk. But that same individual likely is doing those same things when they're not on FSD beta.
If I thought there was a risk of injuring someone, I wouldn't be doing it.
I understand why Tesla might want to get, you know, novice testers out there experiencing it. But I definitely think that that's a huge risk that consumers take when they are doing this on public roads.
All right, so what's going on here? How can we summarize, right, this CNBC video here? So it seems like the whole angle or bent of the CNBC video is saying that, oh, Tesla is putting all these people at risk, right? The people using FSD beta or the people on the streets. Therefore, Tesla should be more careful. There should be more regulation. However, in my opinion, I think there's a different type of risk here. And what that is you have an interesting and amazing technology with neural nets, right? Using data to make amazing decisions to navigate physical spaces. This has potential to revolutionize transport and to make our streets 100 times, 1,000 times, perhaps even 1,000,000 times safer. How many people have died from drunk drivers? How many people have been injured, right, from people, unintentive drivers who are looking at their cell phones or doing something else while they're driving? I mean, it's crazy how many people I still see on the roads who are using their phones, like they don't even have a Bluetooth headset. They're using their phones with their hands like next to, and they're trying to drive. And I'm like, dude, you're crazy. Like I'm driving next to him saying, hey, you know, that's not safe. The things that people do. And then there's some people who are using their Bluetooth headsets while they're talking with their friends, like laughing, but they're not even being attentive, right? They lose consciousness in a sense. And they wake up, you know, 10 minutes later, where am I? What street am I on? Like what, you know? And I think that's the nature of driving with humans. Humans are by nature, they lose their attentiveness rather easily. And we're not talking about, let's say, you know, 50 out of 100. I'm talking about even if it's just a few people out of 100 who lose their attentiveness rather easily, then there's people on drugs, etc. I mean, we're talking about a very kind of flawed control system of humans, right, in drivers. So that's the situation. We have the development of a new technology that carries the promise or the hope and the potential of radically reducing, you know, the number of deaths and permanent injuries of humans from driving, which is, you know, a huge reason for fatality and injuries across the world. And so in my opinion, what we need to do is we need to steward the development of this technology in the right way. We need to not over-regulate it, not put media bias and just fill it with fear and FUD. Rather, we need to look at this objectively. Okay, how is this being rolled out? What is the data? Right? Is this being rolled out in a safe way or not? And in my view, and this is my personal view, as a FSD beta tester since, you know, last January or so, I've seen the rollout of many, many FSD beta updates along the way. And I've seen the car improve immensely. I mean, it's gone from a point where, yeah, initially with the 9.0 beta version, I was having to be very attentive in all situations. It was kind of nerve-wracking, but after probably, you know, by the end of last year, it was like a completely different experience where I could actually relax on most of the roads. And now it's become actually a very helpful driving tool. Now, this differs for each person, obviously, in different situations. If you're driving in a very, very complex situation in an urban environment with eight-way, you know, intersections, trying to do unprotected left turns and all this stuff, which are very difficult for humans to do. And if you're expecting FSD beta in its current incarnation to achieve those as good as humans, obviously you're going to be disappointed. But if you're driving FSD beta as a beta tester, understanding this is something that I need to supervise as a human, it's not autonomous at all. In that sense, I'm needing to take over at any moment, but you're using it in environments that it does well in, you know, and there's a lot of environments that it does extremely well. Like I have a suburban kind of street I go into in and out of my house, and it's about like, you know, a 10-minute drive up and down, you know, some streets, and it does a fantastic job where, you know, it's almost flawless completely. And there are many situations where it's like I'm using it to actually help me navigate different areas where I have a hard time figuring out, you know, where to turn. It actually makes the right turn in a lot of ways. But I also understand its limitations in its current form, meaning when it gets complex in certain areas, right, that's having a hard time doing that, I'm able to say, okay, this is a hard situation. You know, if I want to, I could just take over even before it even tries that situation, because that's the reality of where the software is. Now, according to how I see the trajectory of how fast it's improving, that's going to change radically. Every 3 months, this software feels like a new software. It feels like a huge jump and leap forward. So I'm not surprised that in 6 or 12 months that this software is going to be a completely different incarnation, being able to handle dozens of hundreds of various driving situations even better than it does right now. So that's, you know, how I see the overall picture. And I see a lot of people who have kind of a negative bias against FSD beta and technologies without really having a firsthand, not just experience, but knowledge of the underlying technologies and understanding how these neural nets work, what they're doing well, what they're not, and how they're improving over time. I've seen a lot of people, they go, hey, I've tried FSD beta. I'm an FSD beta tester. Now I'm making up my mind, therefore I'm an expert on this. No, most people, 99.9% of the people driving FSD beta, they don't really understand how it's working. They don't understand the decisions of how FSD beta, the neural nets, are taking in the information and how they're planning the paths and what is doing well. And also just like the level of aggressiveness that actually Tesla's engineers are able to program into the software, where, yeah, you know, it's able to take on certain things if it chooses, but if it, you know, there are certain times where it actually chooses to be less aggressive. And so it can confuse people because they're like, oh, why doesn't it turn when, you know, I think it should. But maybe Tesla is actually choosing to be less aggressive in more complex situations so that it relies on humans. So they're actually encouraging more human intervention at times when the human thinks, oh, maybe this thing should just do it. But Tesla's erring actually on the cautious side. So I think that's kind of the moral or the bigger picture of how I'm seeing the situation, is that, yeah, I think people can easily and prematurely judge the system, but my kind of two cents is we should look at the data, and of everything I've seen so far, I think Tesla is doing an admirable job. There haven't been many accidents, and especially injury, right, major accidents on FSD beta, considering the number of cars enabled and the number of miles that this thing has driven. Also further, this is a level two system. The responsibility, the legal responsibility, is on the human driver. Tesla has made that clear. And my concern is that with, let's say, negative media bias, with the assumptions and the judging, right, of FSD beta program from people, that it would influence, right, government and regulators to make actually some hasty decisions, some biased decisions. You think that, you know, humans in government and regulatory positions aren't biased? No, they have their own bias in different ways. And my hope and my desire is that they would actually suspend those biases, look at the data, look at the numbers, and see that Tesla is being cautious, is being super responsible, and is doing a very admirable job rolling out, I think, their FSD beta program in a level two situation, incrementally, and improving the technologies in a fast and rapid pace. All right, hope this has been helpful. If it has, go ahead, like, and subscribe. All my videos can be found as an audio podcast as well. Just search for Dave Lee on investing in your favorite podcast player. I'm also on Twitter at HeyDave7. All right, we'll see you guys in my next video. Thanks.